What's got under your skin there, Bunky? What's nagging at you?
Do I seem like I'm poopy?
Yeah, but you sat
I've
down.
Got a little poop. Play. Right. We need to play the theme though. Do the theme.
All right, here we go.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
All right. Does that make you feel better?
No.
Okay. me neither. By the way.
Hi, Larry Morgan.
Hey, it's been a while.
It's just great to see you.
It's been a minute, as the kids say.
I don't care if we even talk about anything. Just basking in the sunshine of your gaze.
I feel my what?
Gaze.
Oh. Okay. I don't think that's appropriate to say anymore. Can we still say that?
You just made it bad.
See? The world's crazy, Andy. What's going on? Let's talk about the crazy world. No, it's not.
Hey, do you get on with your in-laws well?
Are
they still alive?
No.
So you do.
So we get along great. My wife's mom just passed away a few weeks ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and her husband was considerably older, and he passed away quite a few years ago.
I see.
Got along with them fine.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were in-laws, you know, they're different folks. It was, you know, their family's very different than my family. I have the reserved Texas never really share emotions kind of
right.
thing. And theirs was a little Italian, a little Czechoslovakian, big, you know, emotions, wild swings, you know, fights and then big love. You know, it was just kind of
love was part of the fight.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
and vice versa.
Couldn't have been more different. So it took me a while to adjust to that dynamic.
Right.
But ended up loving my in-laws, yeah, very
Good.
Much. I called. My mom died when I was 19, so I ended up calling Dolores, Charla's mother. I called her mom
nice.
Whole time, and they really kind of embraced me, took me into the family. So how could I not appreciate that? So.
How about this for weirdness? Hmm. Today is the 5-year anniversary of my mom's death, and the 50th anniversary of my grandmother's death.
Oh,
she died a month before I was born.
Oh, wow.
Not my mother. my grandmother.
Yeah. You were raised by aliens.
make sure that's clear.
Now, that would be a great story.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to sit down. I have, it feels like an old man thing, but I know it's not.
What?
Plantar fasciitis.
Oh, I have it. I had it. I've had it.
And how long have you had it?
Well, I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, but did you have it for months?
I had it for years.
What?
Yes.
Don't tell me that.
Well, what you need to do is you need to get some
orthotics shoes. I got them. I'm wearing them right now. Wearing this brand?
No. Orthotics made just for you.
Oh. Custom made shoes?
No, just the orthotics. Just the insert that you put in there. I got a doctor. I'll give you his name. He's just down the street here.
All right.
He's a few blocks down the street.
You know I'm in radio, right?
He makes his own orthotics in his office.
Okay.
Like, he'll make them right then for you.
All right.
Yeah, you got to do it because that's the only way it's going to go away. There are things you... This has become health talk. What the older I get,
I don't want it to be, but
I've got so much shit going on. But yeah. I'll tell you about the plantar fasciitis.
But I had to explain why I had to sit down and make a ruckus.
Have you been running? Have you been doing anything?
I walk everywhere because you know I live just a few blocks from the radio station. So when I come to work, I walk here. I walk back for lunch. I walk, and then I made a point of walking. But
let me see your shoes.
Now these are by Vionic, which are specifically built as orthotic.
No.
Yeah, no, they're good.
No,
they're good.
No. Those look like Vans.
No, they do. They do, but the inserts are amazing support.
No,
they do.
Nope.
Yep.
That is not going to help.
I know.
You. Okay.
No,
then
they do help. They have
then
helped.
Live with plantar fasciitis.
No. They do help.
I hope it gets worse.
Look up Vionic and shut up. Here's my point.
Uh-huh.
We'll move on from health talk because we have some scintillating topics from listeners. 3.5 years, of standing while I'm on the air because I like that. I just feel
sure,
that
I
like
I'd
that energy.
Stand too. They have sitting boards at KCSN at 88.5, but I do prefer to stand.
Me too. And I recognize that when I am actually doing a break, like when I hit the mic, I get into this weird, like I plant one foot. Like, all my weight goes into one foot.
Oh, so you get in a stance?
I do get in a stance. And part of it is because even at a stand-up board, I'm always just a little taller than what they design them for. I mean, I'm 6'1". I'm not super tall, but I'm a slightly above average height. So I have this weird kind of hunch in order to meet the microphone at the right spot, and I plant my left foot in a way that I think doing that repetitively over and over and all the walking. And also, I have narrow feet and I've never worn good shoes. I've always worn shoes wider than they should be and just
you look
slosh
like
around
kids.
In them. Right. Just buying narrow shoes is hard. Narrow widths are very tough to get.
Yeah. I have wide feet, so it's hard to get the wide widths. And they're very long.
But well, you know what they say about big feet.
Big shoes. Yeah. Anyway, you're going to have it forever if you don't do something serious.
I am doing something!
But I'm like a custom orthotic. Okay. It took me a long time, and I had to get like shots of cortisone in my heel.
Because that's the extreme.
Yeah, it was
How long did you wait before that?
I tried like almost immediately to get some relief. I went and I got orthotics. They didn't do anything for me. Then I got shots, and they didn't do anything for me. And then I got better orthotics, and that did something for me, that quieted it down. And it's what's great is then I ended up with from the orthotic initially where my arch of my foot rubbed against it. I got what they call a fibroid. It's like a cyst, like a knot right there on the tendon, and that's painful as shit.
Is that the one toward the ball of the foot?
Yeah,
right, like almost right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
I got that too.
Yeah, and that's from bad orthotics.
Yeah,
and
no, it's bad shoes.
Well, and that too. You can get it from number of, but it's from a friction kind of thing. And then I found something that treats that. Well, they injected some cortisone in that.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, right.
No.
In the ball, right in the arch of your foot.
Right in your ball.
Right in your ball. And then on top of that.
We sound ancient.
I know.
This strikes people all walks of life, though.
Because
when you look it up, actually,
runners
what it
get this a lot.
Runners get it, and then it says obese people get it because of all the weight.
Great.
And so that made me feel great, too. Yeah. I'm working on it.
But I found a drug that works on it. It's called Verapamil.
What?
And it's actually an anti-arrhythmia drug, ironically.
Yeah.
And it's a calcium channel blocker or some shit. But anyway, they make it into a cream that you put topically on your foot.
I've done so much research.
And what I did is I was looking up, the treatment for that. And what I found is this drug is also used for it. There's a disease.
Oh, no.
And it's like, talk about horrible diseases you don't want. There's a disease. I can't remember the name. Peyronie's? Pirones?
That's an Italian beer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's where your dick is turned at a 90-degree angle.
That's a disease?
And getting a stiffy is extremely painful. Yeah. And so I guess rubbing a little bit of this stuff on it. it's funny to you, I bet. But not to people that have it.
Boy, did you go into a rabbit hole in researching this?
No shit. But anyway, so I found this stuff that works on my knot on my foot, and so it's I'm working that out.
Are you? So you're still
I'm taking, ladies.
That's right.
There's a callback.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Sam Farmer and Josh Fligger are on assignment.
Yes, but because I consistently here because I listen to every episode, and I am so jealous when I miss a beer episode on the weekend because I'm not always around. So I just want to say we can make annoying sipping noises too because this is a coffee episode.
Here's a latte.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a latte, Larry. Hey, you said there was a new machine that made this?
Yeah, we got a new fancy coffee machine in here.
Nice.
We're really up in the game.
Nice.
Yeah.
This place is going nowhere but up.
Whatever money we saved from firing you, Intercom put into the new coffee.
Can you get one of those label makers and just on the top of it put the Andy Chanley Memorial Coffee Maker?
Yeah. I'm so going to do that. We'll post that
picture.
You've
got to at least do that and take a picture of it. And then take it down because you're not a scared little bitch.
Because I am, absolutely. I have a job. I would like to keep it, at least for a little while longer. Can we move on from medical stuff?
Like anybody here listens to this podcast.
They'd
shut this shit down.
Oh, God, a long time ago.
What I was asking about the in-laws thing is... And I'm pretty certain that my father-in-law doesn't listen to this. But Laura has gone to work part-time at our kid's school.
Oh, cool.
She's the receptionist at the school. And and loves it. You know, it's a great time. And it was time, you know. She hadn't worked in over a decade. At least outside the house, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of work raising children.
But she
children.
Was a professional in, was it PR? Or?
She did PR. She did, she was in television production. And she was a spokesman for a while for for Environment California.
Yeah.
She was the one getting the word out about BPA and baby bottles and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was on the NBC Nightly News for it.
Yeah, she's doing good work.
And then went to work for the California Santa Monica Convention and Visitors Bureau for a while, doing PR for them. So but now getting back involved at the school. So she's at the school where kids are and so forth. So that's neat. I have to be outside the house doing some voiceover work, and then of course my stuff at 88.5. And so luckily, her dad lives in town and watches the kids for several hours a day. And that's great for him because, it's like 4 days a week.
He's retired?
Yeah. And he spends time with them.
That's great. You guys get along?
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing I was thinking about is those little niggling things that I'll get home and just kind of... annoy me a little bit. they get under my skin just a little bit.
Things he's done or said?
Just things he does.
Okay.
And I think mostly they're old people stuff. I mean, he's 72. But for example, the idea of the working paper towel, like I've wiped my hands on a paper towel, but... this can be used again. I'm going to lay it out on the counter flat, and I might come back and use that again at some other time to, again, wipe something. I'm not rich. But I can spring for some paper towels, and especially since we buy recycled paper towels and then recycle the paper towels that we use.
Try and get the most use out of you can.
I appreciate his legality.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But... by the same token, that paper towel then is taking a space, part of the counter up, and I don't know what that's been used to wipe. I assume it's been used for good and not evil, I would just prefer you take that and toss it away,
yeah.
Or wipe your hands if that's all you're doing on the reusable, the cotton towel,
yes.
The tea towel that's hanging from one of the door pulls.
Which is being reused for multiple purposes.
And yes, that's very good. Economically.
Yeah, sure.
And ecologically.
Mm-hmm. That's a weird, I have to say.
You haven't heard of the working paper towel?
I have not. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen or heard anybody do that with paper towels.
Here's another one. I'll come home and what the kids had for breakfast, for example, might be the leftovers might be on the plate still, with a bowl turned upside down and covering it, and placed in the refrigerator.
Right.
Again, we have reusable containers for leftovers.
Right.
But this idea of this makeshift dome over things. So you can't see what it is, have no idea what it is unless you take it out and look at it.
Right.
And invariably, it's, you know, chopped up bits of waffle. That, who's going to go back and try to salvage that?
Oh, no, you microwave that baby, put a little chocolate sauce over that, a little scoop of
we
ice
don't
cream.
Own a microwave. Got,
yeah, okay,
we don't believe
go.
In it.
All right.
So there's,
well,
there's a
don't
bit of,
believe in it. They do work, but I'm just saying.
I believe that they work, but Lara believes that they beat the shit out
you
of nutrients.
Raise
and
some, yeah, and you raise radiated kids.
Right,
yeah.
And pretty soon I may have a pacemaker, so,
oh,
so won't want that in the house.
Oh, are we going to have heart talk later?
No.
Okay.
I hope not.
All right.
But,
see, that's... There are things, and none of those, and I think you will admit this, none of those by nature are overtly, like, offensive or anything, you know, it's just...
Just niggling things.
Yes, every... Linda Holmes of Pop Culture Happy Hour on NPR, and she writes a lot of great blogs, said this once, that everybody has their little weirdsies. And it's true. There is, I mean, there are these little habits that to you are just... things you've developed, many of them from childhood.
Sure.
Where
or taught from your parents.
Yeah, I mean, it's the environment you grew up in. It's where a lot of bad stuff comes from, but it's also where little
innocuous
habits
things.
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up, for instance, and people thought I was super, super weird. But for some reason, as a child, and I believe my sisters did this too, but we ate cereal dry for a long time, and that seems so unusual to people. And I didn't get used to putting milk in my cereal until I recognized that I was being mocked for it.
What?
Yeah, it was just...
I mean, I've heard of eating, like, sweetened cereal and just eating that, you know, a handful of that, I can see.
Yeah.
Or granola or whatever. But are you talking, like, hardcore shit,
yeah.
like grape nuts?
Well, no, I'm talking about as a kid. So it was usually,
right.
And by the way,
well,
we
you just eat a bowl of it without,
yeah.
like a bowl of cornflakes without.
Yeah. I mean, it's like eating.
There's a serving suggestion right there on the box.
I know, and I would see
didn't
the commercials.
Ever, didn't you ever see it and didn't it ever look
it looked,
tempting?
It looked gross to me because I was used to eating it dry. Now, here's having said that, we were not allowed to eat a lot of sweetened cereals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was usually more like a treat, and for some reason it was just. That wasn't a thing we did, or maybe I was picking up from what my older sister was doing. I don't know. I really don't know. But it wasn't until I kind of got to college or in high school maybe and it's kind of the peer pressure of, oh, everybody does this. Okay, I will learn to enjoy milk in my cereal. And now, of course, I would eat it that way. I'm not having a lot of Cap'n Crunch these
right,
days.
Right.
And boy, if you think Cap'n Crunch rips up your mouth, with milk.
Dry?
Think about having a handful of that dry. But
it's
that was what... But that's
Corey cereal.
But that's one of those weirdsies that
yeah.
I didn't know any different, even though I knew other people did it.
You know what's cute is my kids will eat some cereal dry from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Costco and they've got a new Nature's Path cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, what is it? Turmeric flakes?
Oh,
it's,
no!
It's gold. It's turmeric... flakes and coconut and
is
Viv,
it called
Viv tried some of that
uh-huh.
yeah like it turns your milk yellow
yeah.
Viv tried a couple of it's like having Indian food for breakfast. She tried a couple of handfuls of it and just got this sour look on her face like Daddy, I don't like it. So it's great. I
well,
get
but
it to
did
myself.
She have it with the saffron milk? Because I think that's what you're missing there.
That's what the difference is?
Is it literally called turmeric flakes? Did
I don't
the marketing
know. It's
department
not, no, it's
not,
not called turmeric
okay, good.
Flakes, but it's called like golden turmeric something. Yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
it's weird, but I kind of dig it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, you're weird. You've got weirdsies.
Here's another thing that he does. He will, my father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
he will... refuses to load the dishwasher. He
what?
Will set. He will rinse out a bowl or a glass, rinse it out, and then set it on top of the counter, which is directly on top of the dishwasher, but cannot open the dishwasher and place them. Cannot place them inside the dishwasher.
Interesting.
Like, and I'll go like several times, like you know, every few minutes, I'll walk in. There's something new, and I'll have to take that and turn it upside down the dishwasher.
Is there
and
any?
He watches me do it. He
yeah.
sees me do it.
Yeah. Is there any element of just kind of a different time where, and I don't know, and I don't know what his relationship was like with technology? Lara's mom. No, oh. No, but is that woman's work, you know, from a guy from that era that where
I don't know.
I'm just curious. I mean, I grew up.
Lara's mom passed away when she was 10, yeah. And they were. I think they separated when.
Okay. He's been.
So he's been on his own for a long time, and is not someone who creates a lot of dishes.
Gotcha. But he just hand washes and puts things back without. I don't know.
Perhaps yes. Yeah. He lives very economically with the cutlery and the china.
Yeah. Now see. That reminds me, I watched for years my grandparents on my mother's side, James and Mina. It's pretty adorable, but I think I know what it comes from. My grandfather was, I want to say, like a hydraulic engineer or something. He had a kind of meticulous mind, really smart guy. My grandmother was a school teacher. And for years, I saw them load and unload dishwashers as a team. She would rinse. She would hand it to him. He would do the placement. When it was done, she would say, let's unload the dishwasher. He would take them out, do a quick dry, because sometimes there's still a little, you know, a little moisture left, and she would put it back in the cabinet.
Well,
not cute. But it was kind of a door. And they did this every time I saw them. But I realized at one point, because of the nature of kind of my grandfather's very kind of rigid order in his head, and I am like this too with Sharla. Sharla can fill up a dishwasher with like five dishes because of her placement. It's
right.
Like a plate.
But you can Tetris that shit in there?
Oh, I Tetris the shit out of it. And I think it was my grandfather at one point complaining about how my grandmother loaded the dishwasher. So knowing my grandmother, strong school teacher, read it, she was like, well, then you can help me then and do it yourself. And bam, it became a routine for the 20 years I saw them do it together.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, he's wonderful with the kids.
Yes.
They love him. They are entertained endlessly with him. They're with him right now. And they have a ball together. And it's going to be a great summer because of that.
Yeah. And he probably gets a ton out of it, too. It makes him feel like he's involved.
It keeps him alive.
Keeps him engaged.
Keeps him young.
Gets to see the kids.
All those things. Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. It revitalizes both of them. Sometimes those little things make me want to run out into traffic. But
well, you know what it is? I've always thought this. I've thought this about all relationships, especially romantic ones that become long-term relationships. But one of the biggest issues we have as human beings with other people in our lives, and this is that whole, you always hurt the ones you love or whatever. When you're with somebody or around somebody in your life that often, a lot of the time I tend to think that we expect them to behave the way we behave or believe certain things we believe after a while. It's like, I know you, I love you. Wait, you think that or you do that?
Right.
I would never do that. And the expectation of why don't you react or behave the same way?
The right way.
Yeah. I mean, with Charlotte's family, for years it was, why do you guys yell at each other? I was always the peacemaker in the middle. And it took me forever to realize, no, that is their thing. That is their process. They will go from way up here to down here and resolve it that way.
Me, I like the roller coaster.
Nah.
I like to go high.
And I am flatline all the time.
I love that scene from Parenthood. The grandmother is like, some people like the merry-go-round.
Right.
It just goes round and round. Me, I like the roller coaster.
Right.
And she goes out and Mary Steenburgen says to Steve Martin, it's just so beautiful. He's like, oh, she's so smart. Why'd you get in our neighbor's car? poop.
Well, now that you've alienated your father-in-law.
Yeah, there's not a chance in hell.
That he's listening to this?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Couldn't be. It could never be bothered.
Yeah, what are the odds anybody is?
Could not be bothered.
Hey, should we go to the old Your Artificial Friend's mailbag?
That would be great.
Play us in, Andy.
Do we have a mailbag?
Do we have a mailbag song? We should. We should have a mailbag song. Let's make one up right now.
Okay. We got your letters. Let me start to open it and decide what's in it, because you're our friend. No, that's not good.
No?
Now I can't open it.
Well, we did the song. We
Christ.
Have to do it.
It wasn't a good song. That's why it's not opening.
Do you remember what you said earlier?
No. Do you remember what I said earlier?
You said...
Okay, now I gotta restart my phone. Okay, found it. let's see. Tom Wright, by the way, makes a good point. He said, you should update your pick. I bet Josh doesn't look the same now.
Oh.
And it's true. Yeah. He's lost, 65 pounds?
Yeah. Really looks, quickly, by the way.
Yeah, like in 6 months.
We have to.
Well, that's if we could ever get you to show up at the same time Sam shows up.
Maybe we should just take a picture without me then.
Well, that's what we did this last time.
What?
Yeah.
No.
We're going to Photoshop it in.
Okay.
Aaron's going to Photoshop it, he said.
All right, good.
Ronald Scott said discussion topics that he wants to hear us talk about. What did you collect when you were young?
I feel like we talked about this a little bit.
Did we? I don't remember this.
I know that at some point in one episode...
You was Hummel figurines?
No, that's right. I know. I'm sure I told a story about collecting those... 7-Eleven baseball trading cups.
Oh yeah, but that's when we were talking about. We were talking about fast food.
Yep.
But that's the only thing you collected.
I never
you didn't
really
do baseball cards.
I've never been a collector really of stuff. I have because I have affected this appreciation for monkeys, which is totally fabricated. People have given me monkey crap, not. Not literally, but yeah, never been.
They flung it at you?
I've never been like a hardcore collector of anything. I had a little comic book period in the 80s where there were certain titles that I kind of hoarded for a while. And to my credit, I actually took care of them enough that they are actually worth a little something now.
Huh. How much?
Well, some of the Frank Miller, I'm going to get real nerdy now. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Some of the Frank Miller era Daredevils and limited series.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
You have that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what it is.
Fuck you. People know.
Yeah. People who've never kissed a girl know.
I've kissed a girl, okay?
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to think. We didn't have any money when I was little. We didn't have disposable income, discretionary income. Mm-hmm. So I didn't ever collect anything that I can think of. I just didn't have, you know, the wherewithal to have anything. I can't think of a single thing that I collected.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, I think the only reason that I, like, collected those trading cups from 7-Eleven is because they were well done. They were kind of, you know, I always thought, well, I'll reuse these. And then it was like after I got a few, I knew people who were collecting baseball cards. But other than the crappy gum that's in those things, I didn't see any. You know, I was
you collected that.
I collected the gum. Actually, I chewed it and then made a little display for it.
It would be great. I bet there is someone somewhere
sure there is.
Who threw out the cards and just kept the gum. That shitty pink rectangle of nasty powder-coated gum.
It's basically mildly coated thin cardboard.
Come on, that has to be in a mockumentary at some point, right?
Oh, I would think so.
Right? Can't you see someone's like, this gum, this is a very special gum. This gum was from a Ty Cobb rookie card in 1935. And it's somebody's going to tell me that Ty Cobb wasn't a rookie in 1935. I don't give a shit. was he? I don't know.
I don't know. How weird would it be that you're right?
I just pulled that out of my ass. Now we got to go find out.
Okay.
Now we got to just find
out. No, for me, it was just those just happened to be the cups I would get my, you know, every other day Slurpee in, and they seemed too nice to throw away. So it was kind of collection by default. And I think they're probably still in a storage unit somewhere. But I didn't actively collect anything. You know what I collected, Andy? You know what I did collect?
What?
Friends and memories.
That's bullshit. Man, 1907.
You're right. I don't have any friends.
Is that right?
Yeah,
right.
I was going to correct you, but
1907. Does that sound right?
I didn't want to be pedantic.
1907. Mm-hmm. That sounds
all right.
Yeah.
So first question up, Ronald. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't collect anything. Yeah. Later on, did you collect things like in your record collection? I'm sure you had one.
I had a lot of vinyl, but that was I didn't even think it was a collection. That
you
was
weren't
just
collecting
an active,
it as a collector.
No, it was an active pursuit of loving music.
You know what? I do remember a couple of half-assed collections. Like, you know, I'd start one and then never do anything with it.
Right.
Like a booklet of quarters. You know, like
yeah.
When
somebody tried to get me into coin collecting,
yeah,
and that lasted for like a
stamp
month.
Stamp collecting.
Tried
to do that when I was like 10, and
my older sister was doing that. And talk about, you know, never having the prospect of a date with anybody. Even at that young age, I was like, oh no, I think that would completely ostracize me entirely.
Yes.
If
people would point the finger and call you a philatelist.
I know.
It sounds so close to philanderer that it's
or,
dangerous.
Or it sounds like you have some sort of gastrointestinal disorder. Should we move on to Ronald's next question?
Sure.
Because I have way more about
the
that.
The next one?
Yeah.
Ronald said, Las Vegas drunken stories.
Got those.
Yeah?
Doesn't everybody have those?
I have one.
I have one, too.
I have a couple.
My favorite is a college one because it is the... It is the college version of the hangover without any of the fun. But it was sophomore year at USC. A bunch of the guys that knew each other. We had a
stamp collecting club?
No. No. There was a
Daredevil fan club?
No. Well, no. There was a hallway I lived in freshman year that was called the Zoo. It was a name we inherited, but we embraced it thoroughly, and we were idiots. I mean, we
took ice from the ice machine and we threw it down the hallway. We were crazy.
We were nuts. Okay,
dude, you remember the time
you farted
in the room and everybody smelled it? Oh my god!
So freshman year, we lived in the Zoo. We all got to be buddies. And the beginning of sophomore year, everybody kind of was living in different places, but we got a lot of us together in one apartment. And it was the night before a bunch of us had class.
Now, is this in South Central Los
this
Angeles?
Is in yes. This is in at the on the campus of the University of Southern California, the Mighty Trojans.
Right.
So we're at one of the guys' apartments, kind of having a little Zoo reunion before we start class, and there's drinking going on, and it's getting late, and right around the time where you would break up the party and head back because you got your first day of class the next day, we're all lubed up pretty good to the point where somebody says, "Hey, we should go to Vegas."
Oh, God.
And somebody else said, "We really should." And I'm like, "I got a car." And it was the first year I actually had a vehicle there.
Uh-huh.
My 1977 Ford LTD.
Nice.
Which is
now,
basically
that's a car and a half.
That's the size of a small yacht.
Yeah.
So it was going to fit 25 people. No, it would fit 6 comfortably.
Sure.
And it did. So we all said, "All right, everybody break up."
Now, 6 comfortably, was that 3 in front, 3 in back?
That's right.
Somebody sat over the transmission.
No hump.
No hump?
No hump, baby.
Why no hump?
It's a Ford LTD. You don't need no hump in that thing. It was nice.
The transmission is so much forward that you didn't need a hump?
It was just everything was raised up enough that it wasn't coming up like that. It was just nice, cushiony backseat, baby.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So everybody goes, "All right, let's go. I'm going to go take a shower, wake up a little bit, get sober, blah, 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 blah." We meet downstairs. I can't remember exactly who was there. A guy named Niall. Was that his name? Ah, shoot. 6 of us. Niall decided he was going to go back to his apartment, make a pitcher of margaritas for the road. Great idea, right?
Sure.
First thing Niall does when he gets in the car
is... Don't drink and drive.
Exactly.
Don't do drugs, kids.
We were not able to because Niall immediately spilled the entire pitcher of margaritas in the back seat of my car. And it was like, oh, we'll clean that up later. So we're driving to Vegas. I start out driving. And I recognize, one, maybe I shouldn't be driving. And two, oh no, we're going to get there at 6 a.m. And when we arrive, and the sun's coming up, and we pull into town, and we're starting to sober up, and it's already 97 degrees because it's end of August, early September.
Right.
And I realize it is the biggest mistake of our lives.
And nobody has any money.
Oh, we're college kids. We don't have any freaking money. So we go to Caesar's. One of the guy immediately throws up in the fountain. We're not 21 yet. So we go into the casino where there's nobody there. And eventually they come over and kick us out because we're not old enough to even be around. So we spend a little time getting on the paging system and doing like a Bart Simpson style crank pages over the over the intercom. And we turn around and go home. We start driving back home. And by that time, it's like 109 degrees. We stop and get gas. I throw up at the gas station.
Nice.
My former RA, Jim Champlin, at the
Imagine
time, I think.
Imagine how it would have been had the margaritas not been spilled.
Well, and the postscript to that is the car, which basically lived outdoors the rest of the summer.
Right. Got nice and hot.
You can't get that smell out of that car after it sinks into those floorboards. And it forever, for the rest of its life, had just that fermented tequila margarita mix scent in it to the point where it was hard to get in it. I could never put it. I could never invite anybody to go in my car again because it was just nasty. And when I finally wanted to sell it, my grandfather, who gave it to me, got in it. I was like, what happened in here? It was just like, I couldn't explain to him. It's like, I don't know. Something died in the engine. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, so
nice.
The longer postscript of that is that to this day, any tequila drink immediately makes me want to throw
really
up.
Can't drink tequila anymore?
I really can't.
The only thing I ever got sick on like that was peach schnapps in college.
Oh, no, that's the worst, because that's just as sweet coming back up, and except it's mixed with...
Can't get anywhere near it.
No, good God.
My friends and I, we would go to Vegas reasonably often, like every couple of months, there for a while, 20 years ago, and I wasn't on... one of my favorite stories, I wasn't on this trip with my friend Jeff. They were all out at the pool. He finds out the Huey Lewis is in town, and so he calls up the casino where he's going to play, and he says, "Yeah, I'm Bobby Lewis. I'm Huey Lewis is my dad from a previous marriage, and I just got into town and I saw the billboard. I didn't know he was going to be here, and I've got some friends. I just wanted to know if there's a way I could get some tickets comp so we can come by and see him." And they said, hold on a second. And they sent him up to their supervisor. He made it all the way to Huey Lewis's road manager before finally they said, no, you're full of shit. Jeff was great at doing that kind of stuff. He would call late at night to like QVC, this home shopping network,
really,
and get them to stand on their fucking head with, can I see that watch? Can I see it against her hair? Because I have more of her color hair. Could you hold it up to her face?
Oh, man.
All this shit.
That's great.
He's great at that. But my most dreaded story wasn't one where I was terrifically hammered. It was... one of gambling addiction.
Oh.
I guess mild. Well, I went there with my ex-wife 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. And we go, and for a while we were playing cards at the same table, and then we were playing at different tables, playing blackjack, and hours and hours go by, right? And then we come together and reunite in the casino, and she says, "Well, it's been pretty bad." And I said, "How bad?" She goes, "I lost over $500."
Oh,
I'm like, "Oh, God!" She goes, "How'd you do?"
Oh no!
And I said, "I think I've lost seven." All told for the day and a half that we were already there,
yeah.
And we couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
There's no way. We just didn't have the money. There's no way we could have afforded to lose that much money. As little as it seems, now, but it's still a hunk of dough.
I would be pissed
so,
if I lost that.
I said, "Well, that just won't stand. that won't do at all."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Well, what do you want to do? And I said, "Let's go get in a car. Go out and get in a cab." And I say to the driver, I said, "Hey, you play cards?" And he said, "Oh yeah." I said, "What do you play?" He goes, "Well, blackjack." I said, "Where do you go to win?" He said, "Oh, Binion's downtown Horseshoe," and which isn't there anymore, I don't think, is it? Or it's drastically different than it used to be.
Yeah.
And so we go down there, this hellhole.
This is the old school.
Old school.
Yeah. Previous.
Go
to
in
the
there,
strip.
Single deck blackjack. Where you have a chance at almost counting cards if you're paying attention, and I sat there drinking coffee, sobering up,
wanted to be sharp
under bright lights, and sat down and played conservative smart blackjack for 6 hours.
What?
And every time I'd get $100 in chips, I said, "Could you trade this in, please?" I'd take that and put it in my pocket and forget about it. And just go on and pay attention to the game at hand.
Yeah.
And get another 100 eventually after a half hour, take that and put it in my pocket.
Wow.
Keep playing. At the end of it, I stood up and I'm like, I just can't take it anymore. I can't. My eyes are crossing. And she said, "Well, how'd we do?" And I reach in my pocket and I pull out a handful of black chips. I won back every fucking dollar. Every dollar sitting there playing it right, which made me wonder, why didn't I do that all the time? Why did I play like that all the time?
Didn't you want to go back and actually do that again? It's like, I do this long enough.
Yeah, and then next time I got my ass kicked and there's $300 that's gone and it loses its luster pretty quickly.
That's crazy.
There's something about Vegas. I can stand 36 hours there.
Oh, I agree.
There's a 36-hour limit for me. I want to get there. Laura just wants to go to the pool and hang out. Now we got kids. We can't go. You can't go to Vegas.
Oh, well, they tried that. They tried to make They tried to make it a family destination. Yeah, I agree. And I have never been to Vegas outside of that one college trip for anything other than work-related reasons. I've
really?
Never gone for
Are you
pleasure.
Serious?
No, I've never gone for pleasure since then. Ever, ever, ever.
In 30 years?
Yeah. It could, because zero appeal to me. And so even...
38 years?
Stop doing
that. Is it 1980?
Yeah. 1981, I guess.
37 years.
Never gone there for pleasure for any reason.
It didn't sound like you went there for pleasure the first time.
It just definitely wasn't. Maybe that was set the tone. But I've had to go back there for work reasons so many times that it's never been enjoyable any time. Even when I've had downtime, I have gone through the same thing. It's like, if I have to be here one more day, I will lose my shit. I just feel enclosed. For years I was going there when you could smoke anywhere and everywhere.
Right.
So it just was always in my nose, in my lungs, in my hair. You just sometimes you don't see the sun if you're kind of confined to one place, because usually for a work-related reason, you'd be living and working in one hotel casino.
Right.
And unless you made a point of going
the
outside.
Casinos, they don't want you to know what time it is.
No. And you wouldn't want to go outside because typically it would be 1,000 degrees outside.
There's that.
So I don't know that I've ever had. The place has zero appeal to me.
It's almost more expensive, though, if I stay with Lara and we do other activities besides gamble. Because, do you want to go to that show? Should we go and see that? Oh, let's see if we can get into that club. That would be a lot of fun to do, don't you think? Oh, let's go get drinks over at that place. There's a mixologist.
Yeah.
There's a great restaurant that's up on top of the building.
Well,
can you believe it?
That's the thing.
I end up getting soaked
doing that. It's transitioned from, remember when the thing about Vegas was, yeah, you lose money, but the buffet is $7 and you can eat as much as you want. Those days, I mean, you could probably find those places, but you'd never want to eat at those places.
They don't want to buy you dinner.
Now it is the most high-end restaurants. They, you know, Broadway-level shows for a lot of money. I mean, from an entertainment standpoint, you could go there and see some amazing stuff, but that's going to tap you out too.
Well, when you give them your driver's license and you say, I bet there's some, thing that says you're complicit or you're willing to, you give tacit approval to have them check your credit score. I'm sure that they do a cursory check on you to see how much money you got.
I don't think they can do
that. I bet they can. I bet there is enough information that you share with other people that they can buy into mailing lists and get basic information on what kind of car you have, or where you live, what neighborhood, what zip code you live in. That's right there on your card.
Damn, son, you are cracking this conspiracy wide open right
so
here on
if
the
you
YAF.
Say, for example, that you live in, what's Beverly Hills?
90210?
Mm-hmm. I should have known
that.
Yeah,
there was a whole TV show about it.
Oh, shit.
See, clearly you're so good with numbers. It's no wonder.
See,
that you
I bet
won
they
that.
Could have told that. Aha! He lives in Beverly Hills.
Anyway, what's
and,
your point?
And I bet they'll know. Oh, you know what? We're gonna put this guy up in the executive suite. We're gonna buy them to get more of your money.
There's probably some way that, where they are trained to identify. One way or another, whether it's through that data or whether just kind of...
They just see you have your pockets pulled inside out.
Yeah. Right. That's right. Which way to the free shrimp? And it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, not that guy.
Yeah. The people ordering the Zima.
No. I don't like gambling. I don't care about strip clubs. I don't like intense heat. I don't like smoke. I mean, there's very few things. I have been to some...
I like strip clubs, smoke, and intense heat together.
Interesting. At the same time.
Yes.
I have been to some great restaurants there, and I've seen some pretty good entertainment or comedy there. They have some good comedy clubs there. But otherwise, and as far as gambling, my really bad joke is I lost $1.50 in a Pepsi machine once, and I was out. That was it.
You're right. That is really
bad. Really bad joke.
Well, that's the guy who is in the Daredevil fan club for you, ladies and gentlemen. Larry, it's been a joy...
If they have a Comic-Con in Vegas, I might go to that so I can see how much my Daredevil comics are worth.
Oh, God. Imagine what parking is for that. just great to see you. Well, Raiders fans will have a reason to go there soon, right?
Oh, wow.
When's that happen? Year two?
Is that in another year?
Is that a year?
Interesting.
Year two?
Look at Vegas becoming a sports town.
Yeah. How about it?
Yeah.
How about it?
Yeah. I will not be going to Raiders games.
I wouldn't go to a Raiders game. If you see me at a Raiders game, I've lost a bet.
If you see me at a Raiders game, I have been kidnapped and taken against my will, which, by the way...
Might happen.
Yeah.
Some
of their fans would,
it goes now.
Probably do
so. So great to see you, Larry. God, I hope you join us for another podcast sometime before you die. Sometime before I die.
I will be back at the Shea Chanley... Sometime very soon, I promise you. Summer I will be. And also, hey, you're welcome to come over this side of the hill.
I'm here.
Fancy side of the hill anytime.
I'm here.
I've got...
I am here.
I'll have a lot of latte.
Here I am.
You. All right.
Thanks for the latte from the Andy Chanley Memorial machine.
I got to go find that label maker.
You're not going to do it.
I will.
Larry, I love your body. This has been fun.
Please tell people that's a quote from something so they understand.
Press the button.
All right. When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.